This information is subject to a disclaimer at the end of this podcast. Please ensure that you listen to the disclaimer and go to www.ubs.com for further information about UBS.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning into UBS Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's markets. In 2024, more global citizens will cast a ballot in a democratic election than ever before. Though attention on the US election is especially high, market-relevant elections are due to take place in many key markets. One such, which is imminent, is in the UK. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak announced that the UK will host its general election on the 4th of July, and to discuss some key signposts ahead of this all-important event, we have today Anna Titareva, UK and European economist at UBS Investment Banking Research, with me, Sambodha Ray, Head of Product Management for Global Economics and Strategy Teams. As we know, elections are events that can move markets and often create macro and market uncertainty. So there's a lot to learn today. Stay tuned. Anna, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Let's start with some key facts and figures. We understand that the election will be held on the 4th of July. In this context, what are the key dates to look out in the next few weeks? It could be before or after. So just walk us through that.
Sure. So the next key date is actually this week on the 30th of May. That's when the parliament will be officially dissolved. Then the next key date or key dates will be around the publication of the manifestos. Now, there is no preset date when all parties or any of the parties will be publishing manifestos, but historically, Labour and Conservative parties tend to publish their manifestos somewhere between 18 and 29 days before the election takes place. So that's around 5th to 16th of June. Mm-hmm. Now, on the day of the election, 4th of July, the polling stations will open at 7 a.m., will close at 10 in the evening, and that's when we're going to get very important exit poll with quite good indications. Mm-hmm. After that, we'll get sort of the crucial indication in terms of the winner, likely early in the morning on 5th of July. Mm-hmm. And then the new parliament will, for the first time, meet on the 9th of July, and the new parliamentary session will be officially open on the 17th of July.
Okay, so those are the key dates that we should be watching for. 5th to 16th of June for the manifestos from both parties to be released historically by looking at historic standards. Okay. You mentioned an important point that at the time of recording this podcast on the 28th of May, we do not have the official manifestos from the two major parties. But what do we know so far in terms of their priorities?
Sure. So from the Labour perspective, they previously have said that they will base their manifesto based on sort of key five key areas, which are construction of new homes and transport links, second, energy transition, third, NHS, fourth, reform of childcare and education system, and fifth, crime and security. So we could expect announcements around those areas. Mm-hmm. From our perspective, one aspect that we'll be particularly looking out for is sort of costing and financing of any spending measures that they will be announcing, in particular around the energy transition.
Right.
From the Conservative Party side, it seems that we're likely to see a sort of continuation of the current priorities. So focusing on boosting growth, reducing debt, reducing NHS waiting lists, also a stricter migration regime, and taking into account announcements over the last few days, defense and pensions will also be in focus.
Interesting. Given the priorities that you just outlined right now, what does it mean in terms of the impact on the economies?
So in absence of sort of detailed manifestos, it's really hard to assess the imminent and direct impact on the economy. But in general, when we take a step back, going into this election, the key concern and perhaps also the key risk is around the fiscal outlook and around how any spending measures that either of the parties could announce mm-hmm. could be financed going forward. Having said that, we do think that actually the scope for surprises or for generous fiscal giveaways in the near term from either of the parties is actually relatively limited because, following the last two big fiscal events, including the spring budget, sure, fiscal headroom is already very limited. So we think that concerns around fiscal outlook and fiscal policy will remain, but probably it's for, later in the year or probably for next year.
Cool. So we understand the importance of fiscal policy. What about monetary policy? I mean, that will surely, there must be some implications for the Bank of England and monetary policy outlook. Is there?
So in general, we think that monetary policy outlook and the upcoming policy rate decisions by the Bank of England will be driven predominantly by the incoming data on inflation, on labor markets, and essentially the bank's assessment around risks around inflation persistence. So we think it's all going to be driven by macro outlook and inflation outlook rather than political uncertainty. Now, in this context, I would flag that our current baseline is for the Bank of England to deliver a first 25 basis point rate cut at their meeting on 20th of June. Mm-hmm. However, given...
That's ahead of the election, right?
Ahead of the election, exactly. Okay. However, given a very disappointing April inflation print, which did show a decline in headline inflation, but less than anticipated, mm-hmm, we did flag risks that the first rate cut could be actually delayed potentially to August meeting.
Okay, that could be game changing for the from an election point of view. I understand that you're saying that elections may not have an impact on the monetary policy outlook, but the other way it might have. All right. Okay. My last question to you, which obviously we are markets people. So what are the broader market implications, especially if you may want to focus on the sterling and the gilts, please?
Sure. So from the rates perspective, our colleagues in the rates strategy team are saying that all else equals, any risks around fiscal outlook they imply higher term premia and potentially steeper curves. However, given our and their take that risks around fiscal giveaways in the near term are relatively limited, mm-hmm, they remain of the view that rates outlook in the near term, potentially over the course of the remainder of this year, will largely be driven by monetary policy outlook. So what the Bank of England is going to do rather than the politics. Now, on the FX side, just to flag that on the day of the announcement of the elections, we did see sort of a jump in implied volatility. Having said that, our colleagues in FX strategy are pointing out that the outcome of the election is pretty much fully priced in by the market. And against this backdrop, they see a scope for further risks emerging as relatively limited.
I see.
They also flagged that they've been constructive on sterling, especially versus euro and Swiss franc. One source of concern, once again, is fiscal outlook, but again emphasizing potentially relatively limited risks around fiscal issues. They overall view risks as relatively limited.
Anna, this has been very informative. Thank you again for your time. Let me see if I can summarize everything we learned from you today. So the election manifestos are likely to be announced between the 5th and the 16th of June, as per historical, patterns. And all eyes will be on how such manifestos may impact the fiscal situation of the economy. On the other hand, monetary policy is likely to be independent of election results or the manifestos, but more macro data driven, right? And finally, we think that the bond market and the FX are already pricing in most of the election related uncertainties. We hope you found this podcast useful. There are plenty of market-relevant podcasts available in this channel. Thank you again for visiting the UBS Research Pod Hub. This is me, Sambodh Hare, signing off for now.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries, and/or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation, nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax, and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content. It has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept any liability over such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. Copyright UBS 2024. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.